name's Kyle Goen. I've been around here for quite a while, but when I say around here, around LifePoint. I've been around LifePoint now for quite a while, almost 20 years. But I've been in the Riverdale campus now for almost 2 years. And so there is so many people around here that I don't recognize. There's new people that have come in. And so my wife's name is Amy. And we have three kids. All of them are grown and out of our house now. Two of them are here at this campus, and they are involved in ministry, and they faithfully serve here. I have another one who is living in New York who is up there now serving and working and having a great time up there. You know, I love children. I think kids are really, really important. And I want to tell you this. If you're married in here, I want to encourage you. Have children. Have a lot of kids. I mean, don't snicker. Listen, have a lot of children. Listen, my kids down here, they're starting to feel a little tension, all right? I'm not a grandpa yet. All this gray hair, you may think I am. One day they're going to make me a grandpa, though, I'm sure. Have children. Have a bunch of kids. Kids are important. Kids add so much to your family. They add a lot of joy. They add a lot of laughter. There's so many memories. I have a family text, and our family text goes back and forth with different, like just this week, someone posted a picture in our family text of a Halloween costume that one of our kid in that Halloween costume. It brought back so many great memories. Now, I do want to say this, though. When my kids were little, when they were infants and toddlers, they did nothing to expand the household. I just want you to know that. They weren't trying to earn their keep. They couldn't earn their keep. In fact, they made more messes. They broke things. I remember there were times at the dinner table that we didn't get to eat because food's everywhere. Milk is getting spilled. I didn't know you could spill milk out of a non-spillable sippy cup. It could happen. I mean, their lamps get broken. There are all kinds of things. And I need you to hear this. As children, many times, they don't do anything to earn their keep. In fact, they cost you money. I was looking today, and the average cost in today's dollars for raising a child to age 17 is somewhere around $223,000 is the cost of it. Kind of shocking, isn't it? But I need you to hear me. There is more joy that we receive out of our children than you could ever imagine. And I need you to also understand this, is that never once did I ever expect my children, to like pay me back. I didn't expect them to earn their keep. I never thought, well, they're going to start, at some point, they're going to contribute to this household. No, listen, they're my kids. You know, just by being a part of my household, they are accepted, they are loved. My children, when they were small, never ever thought, I've got to begin to earn my keep here somehow. That never came into their mind. They just knew, listen, this is my family, this is where I belong. Last week, we were talking about and thinking about, as CJ was here, life storms as a follower of Christ, how God puts us in storms. And we were thinking about how it is that God's heart is for us in the midst of those storms. Today, what I want us to spend a few moments on, what I want us to think about, is God's heart for us when we feel very unworthy. When we sin, when we feel like that we're separated, when we feel like, can we do anything right? Does he really love me? I want us to talk for just a few moments about that. If you got your Bibles, open up with me to the book of Matthew. Luke. Go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I always say this, so if you've been around here a while or if you were at Riverdale, you would hear me say, if you got a Bible, open it up. Turn it on, get you a pen, a piece of paper. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. That connect card that's in front of you is blank on the back side. You can take a few notes. I want you to do that today. Here's the roadmap for where we're going. There's two truths that I think we're going to be able to see today out of this passage that I think are going to be really, really important for us. Here's the first one, and I want you to write it down. The first truth is this, is that our unworthiness doesn't hinder God's love for us. Our unworthiness doesn't hinder God's love for us. And here's the second truth that we're going to see. The second truth is this, is that Christ doesn't want us to doubt his love for us. Christ doesn't want us to doubt his love for us. This passage that we're going to see today is a familiar passage. If you've grown up in church, you've probably heard this before. But I want us to begin to read it now out of the book of Luke, Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. It says this, "Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him," called the disciples, "but Jesus called them to him, saying, 'Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter into it.'" If you've been a part of a church for a while, you've probably heard this. You may have even seen, if you've grown up in church, the little Bible story pictures of Jesus sitting on a rock and all the little children that are coming around him. But if you're also, if you've grown up in church or if you've ever heard this story before, you may be like me and maybe you've misunderstood this story a little bit. Well, for us to really catch what it is that he's trying to say in these two, three verses, I think we have to go back and we've got to kind of look at what surrounding it. In any good Bible study, any good Bible study method, when you're studying scripture, you've got to look at what is the passages that are around it. So if you were to look back up at the story just before these passages in verses 9 through 14, you're going to see a story, a parable, a story about two guys, a Pharisee and a tax collector. A Pharisee and a tax collector, they go into the temple. Sounds like the start of a good joke, doesn't it? A Pharisee and a tax collector, they go into a temple. Pharisees of that day were the epitome. They were thought to be the epitome of goodness, of righteousness, of holiness. So the Pharisee goes into the temple and he begins to stand up in the temple and he begins to pray out loud. And as he's praying out loud, there is a tax collector that comes in. And the tax collector that comes in was, tax collectors are thought to be the epitome of evil. They were bad people. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, the one who had it together. The tax collectors, they were typically Jewish who were robbing their fellow Jews of the taxes to give back to Rome, and they would extort. So the Pharisee standing up in the temple and he's praying, "Lord, thank you that you've not made me like the rest of these people. Thank you that you've not made me like this tax collector, this sinner." I mean, he's looking down upon him. Yet the tax collector, the scripture tells us, he came in there and he fell down, the scripture says. He fell down and he, in his unworthiness, he began to pray, "Father, forgive me. I'm so unworthy." The scripture tells us here that what you see is one person came in and they were depending on their good works. They were depending on their merit. They were depending on the fact that they had all of this knowledge. The other one came in and fell down and he fell at the feet of Jesus asking for grace and for mercy. And Jesus says in this story, here's what he says. He says in this story this. He says, only one went away that day justified, and it was the tax collector. If you now then went to the next story, the one that follows the one that we're reading today, it's in verses 18 through 30. It's a story that Jesus tells about a rich young man. You may remember the story of the rich young man. He comes to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What do I need to do?" And this guy, as Jesus begins to question him, he begins to rely on his good works also. "Listen, I've done all these things. I have all this money that I give and I try to help." And Jesus says, "One thing you've lacked, go give all your money away and come and follow me." It says that he went away. You see, this young man, this young ruler, he wasn't willing to let go of his wealth or his self-righteousness. Our passage today is in the middle of this. And I believe what we're trying to see, what Jesus is trying to help us to see, is he's wanting us to see that in the midst of when we feel like we're unworthy, in the midst of when we think that we are nothing, when we are low, when we feel like I can never do anything right, he says, "Hey, hold on, hold on, hold on. You're my child." So with that, let's look at the very first truth here. Let's look at the very first truth here. Our unworthiness, it doesn't hinder God's love for us. Notice with me in Luke chapter 15, Luke in verse 15, chapter 18, verse 15. Luke points out right here that the people were bringing infants and children so that Jesus could touch them. Now, this story is also over in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 10. Here it says they were bringing even infants. In Mark, he says they were bringing children. And you see what the disciples do? The disciples end up doing something that we often do also. They begin to look at the children and begin to go, wait a minute, this is an important meeting. It's as if they're saying, this is an important meeting. This is an important man. This is an important gathering. We don't have time for the children. Get these kids out of here. They're not bringing anything to the table. They're not really worthy to be a part of this right now because they're not able to add anything in. Yet what we see here is the people were coming because they desired, they had already seen Jesus heal so many people with his touch. In fact, there were people who would want to clamor to get to Jesus and touch him because if they could touch him, they knew they would be healed. And so you have these parents who are bringing infants and children to Jesus so that he could touch them. See, in that day that Jesus is alive, in the day in which we're talking about right now, what you began to see is that children did not have any worth and value. Until they were old enough to bring something to the family, when they were old enough to get involved in the business, when they were old enough to come and be a part of the process, then there was something that could happen. Then there was something. You see, I think the disciples here were almost doing some of the very same things that these two stories on either end were doing. They were doing some of the same things. They were modeling the rich man. They were modeling the Pharisees. And Jesus is saying right here, look, this is an important message. I want you to catch this. He's saying, listen, these children, these infants, though they bring nothing to the table, they're mine. Did you realize that as followers of Jesus Christ, you bring nothing to the table? Do you realize that? We often think, man, I've got a lot to offer. None of us would ever really say that. But that's our attitude, we think sometimes. Or we think, man, if I could study more, if I could learn more, God would love me. He would be so pleased with me. It's as if we know in our minds and maybe even in our hearts, yes, I am saved by grace through faith alone. He saved me, he saw me, he loved me, but when we get in, do you know what we do oftentimes is we revert to works and we start trying to earn. I want to learn more, I want to study more, I want to serve more, but we do it for the wrong reasons. We do it thinking that we can cause God to love us more. And I need you to hear right now, if you're in this room, I want you to hear. You're loved more now than you could ever be loved by God. As a follower of Jesus Christ, now I need to say this. I'm speaking to those of us today in this room who have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Those of you who have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you did nothing for it. You couldn't earn it. You couldn't buy it. It was given to you freely. And you are never more loved than you are right now. Right now. And some of you are going, I don't feel that way. I need you to hear me. God loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his one and only son to die for you. And some of us right now, we're thinking, not me. Listen, yes, I know. I've been saved by grace through faith, but I need you to hear me. I think he probably loves this person in my D group more. You know, they know all the answers. They study. He never gets mad at his wife. They have a great marriage. Do you know what the truth of the truth of this is that those people you're pointing to have the same fears that you do. And I want you to break, I think this is what Jesus is saying here. He's wanting you to break out of this. And he's using children here to point us in that direction. Look what Jesus' words are in verse 16. Verse 16, he says this, look, He says, let the children come to me. He says, do not hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom of God. Do you realize that children never question, infants and babies never question their love for their parents' love? Infants and babies never do that. They just cry and know that mom's there, dad's there. I think Jesus is telling us, he's pointing and using these children here to help us to see that, listen, you can do nothing to earn my love. My love for you as my child is as deep as it's ever going to be. It's at max strength today. And some of us in here today, you need to hear that, because you feel weighted down. You feel like, I'm a screw up. I keep doing the same things over. Jesus, he's going to turn his back on me. I need you to know this. You can't, as a follower of Jesus, as one whose heart has been changed by Jesus, he's never going to turn his back on you. Now, for some of you right now, you may be thinking, is he downplaying sin? No, I need you to hear me. Sin is very, very important. You know how important it is? It's so important that God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die for you and me. Sin is horrible. It's terrible. In fact, Paul wrote in Romans 6, he says, what shall we say then? There are some who were saying, listen, now that I'm a follower of Jesus, I can do whatever I want, because his grace will just abound more and more. Paul says this, what shall I say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? No, may it never, ever be. Listen, sin is serious, but I need you to hear me say this. As a child of Jesus Christ, as a child of God, he loves you. And he, just like with the children, he says, come to me. Come to me. I love you. I will not cast you out. You see, your job is not to make Jesus, your job is not to make God love you more. Your job is to rest in him. Your job is to allow him to minister to you. And some of you today, you're going, whoa, I don't know about this. Listen, as his children, I want you to hear me say this. His heart is not repelled by your favor, by your failures. You need to know that. His heart is not repelled by your failures. It's as if we think that if I can manage my sin, if I can do all of these right things, God's going to love me. I need you to hear me. When we sin, you know what God desires us to do? To run home to him. Parents in the room, if you've ever had a child that has been far from you, all you desire is that child to come home. You're not holding something over them. Jesus' desire, when you are in the midst of your failure and you're in the midst of feeling unworthy, he desires you, child, come home. Come to him. You are worthy because you're his child. And you know what? So many of us as followers of Christ, we're wading in the shallow end. You know why we're wading in the shallow end? Is because we think, I read my Bible more, I serve more, I go to church more, I give more, and yet all of us in here, at some time, we begin to feel like it's not working. Listen, you need to know you can't give more, serve more, go more for him to love you. All of those things are good, and we should be doing all of those things as followers of Jesus. But what we do in those moments is we're trying to earn something, and we can never earn his favor. As children, listen, my children couldn't work enough to pay back to be in my family. My children are my children. Come, just come. Come home. Come home. And oftentimes what we do is we think that our sin repels Christ. I need you to hear me. You know what your sin does? Your sin compels Christ to come closer to you. Your sin doesn't repel him. It compels him to come closer. Matthew chapter 11, he says, those of you who are hurting, those of you who are weary, those of you who are heavy laden, come to me. Come to me. This is the message, I believe, that changes us. We think that Jesus wants to hold something over our head, that he's like, I need you to hear me. I want you to think for just a second. Think about a child. If you have a child who's ever been in the hospital, who's ever been sick, who's ever been struggling, you see them in that hospital bed and you're moved, aren't you? You're grieved. You're not grieved with repulsiveness. You're grieved with compassion because you want so much to take that from them. It would be like the child running away from the doctor. Listen, today, wherever you are, whatever it is that you're facing, I need you to hear, he loves you and he is for you in the midst of where you are. He's calling you, come out. Come out. Don't stay. Come out, but come home. Because he has what we need. Look at the second truth real quick. The second truth is this. The second truth is that Christ does not want us to doubt his love for us. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, Jesus says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Shall not enter it. Listen, Jesus doesn't use children because they're morally innocent. No, children are sinners. They're very sinful. And that's the whole point. That's why he's using this. Listen, and as I said a minute ago, an infant never stops to think, will my mom nourish me? Will she love me? A two-year-old running up to dad with a coloring sheet with colors everywhere does not think, will my dad love me more if I was in the lines? No, he trusts that dad loves him. You see, a childlike faith is what God is calling us to right here, because you need to know that a child, an infant, never thinks he has to earn anything from mom or dad. I'm going to come back today as a follower of Christ. Do you realize that you are free in Christ? God can never turn his back on you, because for him to turn his back on you would be to turn his back on Jesus Christ. This is where all of the scripture tells us that we are in Christ. In Christ, we have forgiveness. In Christ, we have riches. In Christ, we have love. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And for God to turn his back on you would mean he'd have to turn his back on his son, Jesus. And he will never do that. Just like you, parent, in this room, you're not going to turn your back on your child. But the sheer reality of it is this. Many of us in here, we've felt the sting of rejection from our parents, haven't we? You felt that sting. You've felt like you were unworthy. It doesn't take long for a child to get it, though. For some of you in here, you're carrying around that sting and that weight. And you know what it's doing? It's causing you and influencing you to see your Heavenly Father through that lens. It's that whole idea that, you know what, Dad would be so proud of me if I just hit that home run, if I just kicked that winning field goal. Way to go, Aggies. Georgia, you owe me. You know what? There are grown men in here who are still struggling with, if I just make more money, my dad will think I finally made it. There are moms in here, women in here, who are struggling still with, you know, if I just parented the way that my mom did, maybe she wouldn't judge me. All of us bring this at times to the Father. If I just study more, if I just give more, if I just go more, if I just, I need you to hear me. Some of you today, you're reading your Bible thinking that you're going to climb up. It's going to make me stronger. It's going to make me, and God's going to love me more. I need you to hear me. God loves you as you are. You cannot perform enough for him. Because you know why he doesn't want you to perform? He wants you. Adults in this room, this may feel uncomfortable to you. Adults in this room, he today is speaking to you just like he did these children. He's sitting and he's saying, come to me. Come to me. I've come for the screw-ups. I've come for the mess-ups. He opens the door so that his children can come into his house and track dirt and mud on the carpets, the incredible vase that sits in the corner that grandma gave that shouldn't be broke. He doesn't care. He loves you. And he holds that to you. If you're not a follower of Christ today, listen, that is what Jesus offers you. You don't have to perform anymore. That feels very weird to people who are sinful. People who have a sinful, broken heart. I don't have to do anything. Do you know what really hurts me? Is when I realize that I'm doing the very thing to someone else that I don't want done to me. How often do we hold out or withhold love from someone because they're not performing up to our standards? Oh, I'm so thankful that Jesus doesn't do that to us. I've got one last passage I want you to look at with me real quick. It's in Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah 55, verses 7 through 9. This passage is usually a passage that we use and we speak to when we're talking about God's otherness. We don't understand him for some reason. There's something going on. We're going, God's ways, they're not like our ways. He thinks very differently than us. But I want you to see the context. Remember, context is so important. Look with me at Isaiah 55, verses 7 through 9 and how he speaks here. He says this, let the wicked, catch this, let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts, let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Do you realize that's this is all about in the context of being wicked, unrighteous. He's writing to his people, Israel. And he says, listen, come home. I'm not going to forsake you. If you'll turn, I'm not going to forsake you. You come. See, my ways aren't like your ways. And some of you out here, again, you're thinking, no, God, you're going to walk out on me. I continually come back and I struggle with the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. I confess. I need you to hear me. He says, your ways are not like my ways. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm calling you back. I'm calling you back. You see, in the midst of that, we begin to hear God say, my thoughts, they're not your thoughts. The way you respond to others, I don't respond to you in that way. Turn back. Come home. Come and find rest. Quit striving. Where you've been trying to earn your keep, you can never earn it. where you've tried to lean your ladder against the right wall to climb up high to reach him. And I need you to hear me. I want to make sure it's clear. We need to be in the Word. But we need to be in the Word and let it absorb us, overtake us, as we fall deep into his love. I want to read a bit of a modern hymn to you real quick. It's called His Mercy Is More. What patience would wait as we constantly roam? What Father so tenderly is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, but His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, it's new evermore. Our sins, they are many. His mercy, it's more. Folks, do you know what the gospel is? The gospel is this, is that you never have to strive again. You know why? Because Jesus finished all striving on the cross. He finished it. His work is done. And now we get to rest and come to the Father. He's calling us, come to Him. Today, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, that is what we're inviting you to. That is the love that we invite you to, the love of the Father that will never leave you and never forsake you. Today, if you are a follower of Christ, or even if you're not, we have a gift for you. In the concourse, as you go out and head back towards the coffee area, there's a table set up there on the left, and there's a book that we have for you. Some very generous benefactors at Crossway Publishers has given us several copies, lots of copies, of a book called Gentle and Lowly, about God's heart for His people. There's one for every family. We'd invite you, go and get one. We want you to pick up one. Maybe you use it in your life group. Maybe you take it and you use it in your devotional life. But we invite you. You take one. Father, we magnify you and we honor you. And we know that you are the King above all kings. We know that you never leave us and you never forsake us. We know that you love us. Father, I'm asking that you would let us rest in your arms today. God, I'm asking that you would let us quit striving for trying to be good, trying to be right, trying to earn something that we cannot earn because we believe we're unworthy. May we come to you today. May we rest in you today as our loving Heavenly Father. Today, if you've never surrendered your life, I'd ask you to come and see me at the back. I want to talk with you. Maybe you want to come to this altar and you want to worship. This is a spot where you can come and kneel and pray. Maybe you want to turn your seat right there into a kneeling bench and a place to worship. You do that. Father, we magnify you. We lift Jesus high today. And it's in the name of Jesus that we ask these things today.